Our gospel reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
And I continue with verses 10 to 18. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Lord, may you open your words to us. By the power of your Spirit, come into our lives and to the community around. Amen. Let me start by asking a question. What sort of world do you want to help create this year? Do you believe you can influence people around? Can you let your little light shine? Do you think people will notice? Or do you fear being blown out by the relentless tides of what's facing us? Do you think that your words can create worlds? Can your words create worlds? And more importantly, can God's word create new worlds of possibility? Our words can carry light into dark places. As a parent, and I'm sure you've all been similar with this, I try to encourage my children to consider that words have power. They can either encourage people or discourage people. I've known when I've been on the receiving end of a little jibe from my 10-year-old, I'm a bit tired and it makes me feel a bit low. He has power to affect me. Words change and create worlds. The words we say can open doors or they can close doors. They can create fantastic opportunities or they can squeeze the life out of stuff. So the question I want to explore today is just simply this. Can our words create worlds, bringing illumination at times of distress and darkness? And more importantly, can God's word do this? When I ask, can words create worlds? And can worlds illuminate? I believe the two questions are very closely linked. They are as one. Most life on planet Earth needs light to thrive. I need light to thrive. But life can't get started unless it gets rooted onto a world in the first place. The two are connected. And we all, I hope, dream of shaping and illuminating our world in some way. We can approach this with mixed motives. Maybe we want to make the place better for other people. Or maybe we want to leave a legacy that other people can admire us, maybe. Whatever our motives, by the time we leave this world, we hope that we have been involved in some act of creativity which will hopefully make this world a better place. Do any of us hope to be able to share some of our wisdom that may even enlighten future generations? Will our words and our stories and our love somehow pass beyond us to generations to come? If you could travel forward in time and find someone is saying something that you said to your kid and it somehow passed forward and it's helpful to a child who you can't even imagine, doesn't that make you feel warm? Something I could say could pass through my kids to the grandchildren, to the great-grandchildren I would never see, and it could touch one of them. If that was possible, wouldn't it be fantastic? My words, however, are finite. I'm not sure how long they will survive my departure. God's word, however, is a different matter. God is eternal, so by necessity, his word endures forever. This quality is very much part of his substance and his being. In the book of Genesis, God proclaimed, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's word creates worlds literally. God's word brings light. And when we come to John's gospel, we see him doing something quite interesting. He takes the story of Genesis on one side, that famous story of the creation of the world, and he re-spins it. He adds a new dimension. Are any of you fans of Earth, Wind and Fire? Do you remember the song Boogie Wonderland back in 1978, 79? I see a smile there, maybe. What modern DJs do is they take a track and add in a new layer. They add a new sort of melody, new beat. They give it a new vibe and re-spin it for a current generation. John's Gospel, in a way, is re-spinning the gospel of the book of Genesis. But it's much more than a remixing of an old story. It's far more important than that. It shows that the story is changing. It shows that how God interacts with the world is changing. It shows that by God's word, the world is changing. How can we not get excited? I don't want to get into a deep exegesis of something about Jesus being the Word of God. You have much more capable people than me who can do that in your congregation. But as we know, John's Gospel honours the Genesis story but places Jesus' hands on the plunger that ignites the universe. God did speak through the Old Testament prophets, using the prophets to sculpt the Hebrew people into a God-centric world. But these words came through Jesus. And now God speaks very specifically to the world through Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to think that the arrival of Jesus, the light coming into the world, God becoming flesh, is the climax to the story. World, take notice. God's in town. The times, they are changing. Is this the climax to the story? I think not. Here's the twist. The climax is not the arrival of Jesus Christ, God in flesh, living in the world. The climax is, as verse 13 puts it like this, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. He gave power for them to become children of God. That's the climax. That changes the world. And this illuminates the dramatic tension in John's Gospel. People have trouble seeing God's world-changing light. Now, when you think about it, that can seem quite odd. Would a farmer reject light from the sun to grow their crops? Would someone like me, who suffered depression in the past, be silly enough not to get some light? Would a wise sage reject illumination? But many people do reject the light of God. Why is this? Please can I take you back to our little demonstration here. Light that we see is only one sliver of the whole spectrum of light. Scientists call it the electrolyte spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum, get that right. It covers gamma rays, X-rays, microwaves, all sorts that we can't see, the infrared. The sliver that we can see is minute. This is why when Hubble gets retired and the new James Webb Space Telescope goes into operation, that can see in the infrared, it will be able to see things well beyond what Hubble can, which sees natural light. And the point I want to make is this. Because of sin, because of corruption, because of whatever we want to call it, we have trouble seeing God's light. It's like it's dark to us. We cannot see it without some sort of realignment of our vision. But of course, some people catch a glimpse of it and they do align themselves with it. The Apostle Paul famously said this. In Ephesians he's prayed, I pray that the God of our Father Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may now know the hope to which he has called you. Key to this is discovering who Jesus Christ is. The Jews called him the Lamb of God and the Messiah. The Samaritans called him the Saviour of the world. The early Greek Christians called him the Alpha and the Omega. And all generations, each community has to identify who he is and express him in their way. But that shows the climax. Let me close by sharing you a story. I do a placement in an Anglican church in Histon. And it's one of those ones that is, it fits into the Holy Trinity Brompton model. They do alpha courses, that sort of thing. They're not one of these churches that kind of hypes up the congregation and gets them to come forward. And so if anyone becomes a Christian, it's kind of emotional, it's hyped up. They're very much into apologetics and reasoning God out. But the curate said something interesting. Towards the end of a service, he said, "I think God's telling me that somebody wants to become a Christian." He didn't ask this person to come forward or anything like that. But he identified that person, and within the end of the service, as far as I know, this person had become a Christian. And for me, it reminded me of my kids being born. When my children were born, I was over the moon. I was so excited. All of us get excited over children or grandchildren being born. What sort of person doesn't get excited? And when someone turns to God for the first time, there's a party in heaven. It's a rebirth. And I thought, why don't I get excited over somebody becoming a Christian in the same way that I get excited over children being born? Because this is what the climax is. People becoming children of God. So as I close, may we see some new light today in our lives. May we see and be encouraged that the world is not going down the tubes. But God is energetically and enthusiastically involved in recreating people's lives. May people meet with Jesus Christ, maybe for the first time, and follow his lead and get involved. And may we put all of our energy and our enthusiasm into getting stuck in, even when it means a bit of inconvenience. In Jesus' name, Amen.